shot.
This is Michael. We're here at the we're doing the Top Shelf Titans podcast right before the NFL draft. It's taking place this week, and we've got a lot of stuff to discuss. I've got here Jimmy Pearson. He is on board. Jimmy, say hello.
How you doing?
And I've also got Jason Teasley. Jason, what's going on, man?
Living the dream, ready to do this mock draft and get ready for the NFL season to officially start.
Me too, man. I'm excited. Ready to get back to football. I took a little time away from it. You know, my son's got soccer going on, got a lot of stuff. But I'm ready to, with the draft is always that one part of the year where I'm ready to get back, ready to see what's going on. And you guys got anything in particular you want to talk about before we jump into the mock draft?
I'll let you talk first, Jimmy, since we know you have the elder complications.
Yeah, I actually, my left ear's all busted up. My eardrum busted from a ear infection. So I'm kind of.
So it's not because you're a high level MMA fighter?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
Not because of that. But yeah, I'm just ready to see what the Panthers do. That's my team. You know, they got that, a top 10 pick, which, you know, they haven't had a top 10 pick in a while. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen there.
They've got a lot of good options. I think they've got some needs that they need to address. I personally am a Packers fan. I don't think we draft till 29th. So I'm interested to see what they do there. A lot of times in the late part of the draft, you find them picking up sort of the late part of the first round. They'll surprise you with a pick that maybe you're not familiar with. So interested to see what they come up with this year. They definitely have some needs that they need to address as well. What about you, Jason?
Being a Giants fan, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they may do. Everything that I'm reading and seeing and analyzing myself, showing that they might be the team to beat in the NFC East. I'm really hoping that holds true. They did some good offseason moves. They added Brandon Marshall to be opposite Beckham. Hopefully this offseason, Beckham actually gets some maturity. So much talent, but so immature. Really takes a great player out of the game. But I'm really curious what, being a Giants fan, my second favorite team is the Browns. I know. I will openly admit that. Mm. I'm sorry. You know, everybody get the giggles out. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Browns can do. They've got multiple first-round picks. They had a real rough season last year, if you can call it a rough season. And that's putting it mildly. But I'm curious to see what they're able to do with such a deep draft class.
The first step is admitting you have a problem. So that's a big step, Jason. We appreciate you taking that with us here. And they do have, what, two picks in the first round?
I think they've got two in the – they got two in the top 12.
Yeah, two in the top 12.
Each pick in the 12th pick.
How many second-round picks do they have? Do you have that in front of you?
Hold on. I'll bring it up real quick. I've got it right here.
And I know, like, the Patriots don't have a first-round pick, which is not surprising. They tend to – They end up at the end of the draft so many times that we'll do it later. And they just pass those picks off for quality players that end up winning Super Bowl rings. It's amazing how often they do that.
They traded the 32nd pick for Brandon freaking Cooks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Brandon Cooks, who is a star on the, you know, on the Saints. And now he's a Patriot. And the Patriots are like, ho-hum. You know, we didn't need that first round pick for a backup, you know, outside linebacker or whatever they might have taken. We'll just take Brandon Cooks. No big deal. Whatever. We'll just put him with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski.
Well, if Gronk could ever stay healthy.
True, true. I mean, he was at the White House recently. I think I saw that, where he's helping our spokesman there answer some questions, which was pretty funny.
Yeah, I did see that. He popped into a nice little press conference asking if he needed
any something like, Sean, you need some help? That was pretty funny.
All right. I think we discussed this offline. We're going to go through all 32 teams, give what we think the team should pick, and give us brief analysis. And then, you know, try to work this through. This is our first podcast together, so anybody listening to this, bear with us. If there is some miscues and everything, we're still trying to gel. We're still getting this together, but I mean, it's a great introduction. Got two great co-hosts with me tonight. So if you guys are ready to get into it, we will.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
MJ, I will let you kick us off with your number one overall pick, the Browns, in 2017. You are now on the clock.
With the first pick in the 2017 NFL draft, I don't hear any boos for me, so I guess I'll go ahead. The Cleveland Browns select Myles Garrett, defensive end, Texas A&M. I think he's the most prolific pass rusher on the board. They need that. They need playmakers everywhere. But from what I've read, they have a really high grade for Garrett. And that's maybe so much higher so for him versus any of the quarterbacks on their board. I don't see how they pass up on taking Garrett. What about you, Jimmy? Who you got going number one?
With the first pick, I have the Cleveland Browns also having Myles Garrett. They've got a lot of holes, and it only makes sense that they take arguably the best player available. And it's proven, yeah, it's been proven year after year that defense wins championships. And when you get a game changer like Myles Garrett could be, you have to take him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Being a South Carolina fan, being in the SEC and watching him, when he played against South Carolina, I think he was actually hurt now that I think about it. So I didn't even really get to see him in that game, but I watched him the week or two before that. And he's just so disruptive. I don't see how they pass on him, but they could. It's the Browns. Jason can speak to that a little more.
I am going to go with the clean sweep. I also have them taking Myles Garrett, but with a side note, the front office does not want Garrett. They want who I have going number two. Instead, the front office and the coaching staff are in a bit of a stalemate on who's going number one. Personally think that Garrett should be the pick. Build around defense. If you guys remember, unfortunately I do, a few years ago, the Baltimore Ravens beat my Giants in the Super Bowl, not because they had a great offense, it was because they had a stifling defense.
Yeah.
Defense, it goes back to the old adage, defense wins championships. So.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's going to be curious who wins out. Is it going to be the coaching staff getting who they want, or it's going to be the front office getting who they want?
Yeah, selling tickets and in the face of the franchise. Now, didn't the Jaguars have a choice between Blaine Gabbert and J.J. Watt, and didn't they take Blaine Gabbert?
Yep.
Yeah, and we see how great that worked out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the new ownership for the Browns seems to actually have a plan, so I just don't see them moving on without taking Garrett first.
We always have hope that as any Cleveland Browns fan does, we're going to pop in the Kevin Costner Classic draft day and hope hope for the best. What the Browns actually pull something off that grade.
Yeah, I love that movie. That would be awesome. Plus, if they somehow got Kevin Costner in their front office, that would be awesome, too.
That would.
Jimmy, do you want to take the second pick?
Yeah, the second pick, I have the 49ers taking Deshaun Watson. The Niners, they also don't have a great roster, and they're starting over again with another head coach and a new general manager, and I'm just willing to bet that Kyle Shanahan's going to want to go with a quarterback. And Deshaun Watson, I think, is the best quarterback in the draft class. So,
I guess that shoots it over to me, and I will disagree with you and say that the Niners will be taking what I feel the best quarterback in the draft is Mitchell Trubisky out of North Carolina. But I'm also going to say that there you could actually see the Niners falling back in the draft and trading out of this two spot to get a quarterback later on.
Yeah,
and add picks, and I can see somebody like the Jets moving up to the second pick to take the young UNC quarterback.
I'm a North Carolina fan, so you know, Mitch Trubisky's only had one full year as a starter. So that's the only reason I've got him as a number two quarterback. Deshaun Watson did the national championship 2 years in a row and just tore up Alabama's defense both years. So that's why I have him first. But I've also heard that the Panthers could possibly trade up the number two spot so they could take Leonard Fournette.
Mm.
I don't think that's going to happen, but it's a possibility.
Yeah, I don't know that the – I mean, I think if they're going to get Fournette, I think they would have to. I have him going before the eighth pick, so which is where the Panthers sit currently.
Right.
And I do agree with Jason. I think it's likely that the 49ers will trade out of that spot. I know a lot of people have said they really don't know what the 49ers are going to go after there, which to me seems like a recipe for movement. Especially, you know, if you have a team wanting to get ahead and get Fournette or wanting to get one of those two quarterbacks, either Trubisky or Deshaun Watson, or even like Marshawn Lattimore or Jamal Adams, one of the defensive backs on the board. I can certainly see a trade into that number two spot. I have the 49ers taking Mitch Trubisky from the University of North Carolina, as well as Jason does. And I just think that I know they need a lot of positions. I know they need a lot of stuff, but with all the stuff that they've had going on, all the movement, front office personnel and players on their team, I think they need I think they need a face of the franchise. And I think that the prevailing opinion is that Trubisky is the number one quarterback on the board. I disagree. I agree with Jimmy. But I think that the question marks about Deshaun's arm or whatever they are, his size, I don't believe in that. I've seen him play. And I think that's just going to help a team get him later on and pay less for him. And I think Trubisky ends up at the in San Francisco.
See, I can agree with that. I think maybe Deshaun is the guy that Shanahan wants. And like we both established, trading out of that two spot, you could probably land him due to those question marks later.
Yeah.
With maybe, and with this draft, like we said, this is a deep draft class. It's probably one of the deepest draft classes. This is probably one of the deepest draft classes in the past 10, 15 years.
Yes.
You've got so many positions that you can, so much talent coming out this year that you can plug and play positions in. But I think whoever the Niners take, I think they're going to take quarterback first round. It's just a matter of who, which one they're going to take, because it's 1A, 1B.
And whether they're in the number two spot.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, if they trade out of that two spot, somebody like the Jets moves up, gets Trubisky, they get Deshaun later on the draft. It's a win-win situation if they trade out of that. They can get a lot of value by trading out of that spot. And with so many question marks of, quote-unquote, who the Niners going to take, and Shanahan's track record, I think that they might trade out of that, get more value, and still get one of the quarterbacks that they want, regardless, and build around them.
Yeah, because if you don't want anyone specifically at the number two spot that high, there's no point paying for a person that you don't absolutely have to have. So why not pick up an extra pick or two later, give up that spot, move back, and get someone that you're perfectly happy with that you know, instead of drafting them at two. I think that's what I personally think that's what they'll end up doing.
Yeah, it makes the most sense for, I mean, they have so many holes all over the place. They need to back out of that spot and get a few more picks to help build the team better.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing that makes most sense. But as of right now, they're at number two, so that's what we have to go by.
True story. Jason, what you got for number three?
This one, I think that I'm going to go against the norm. I mean, I don't know. I haven't got much comparison to go by. But I think the Bears take Malik Hooker, Ohio State strong safety. He, like I said, build around your defense. Chicago has a lot of holes, but I think that they start with their secondary in what seems to be a very pass-friendly division with the Packers, the Vikings, Detroit with Stafford up there. I think securing your secondary is the best thing that Chicago can do. When you're facing some of the top, probably arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Aaron Rodgers, you don't know what Minnesota's going to do. I mean, if Bridgewater comes back and gels with Treadwell, you know, that could be a nice matchup, you know, favorable if Chicago doesn't start. And then you got Stafford, who seems to be able to make receivers relevant again. So I think Chicago's going to have to secure their secondary against a very, very potent passing attack in their division.
I would agree with that. I actually have the same pick. I have Malik Hooker, safety from Ohio State, the Ohio State University, going to the Bears. I think they got a safety. I don't have his name right in front of me. Last year. Okay, yeah, that's right. Last year, and to pair those two together, I think really is a step in the right direction for their defense and their safe, and particular their secondary. So I agree with you on pretty much all of the points that you made.
That's interesting. I also have him going defense, but not with Hooker. I have him picking Jonathan Allen from Alabama, because I'm of the mold that if you can disrupt the quarterback, it'll help the secondary a lot more.
You're right. Yeah.
The more pass rushers they have, the easier it makes on their linebackers and secondary. So
absolutely.
And John Fox, he's a defensive minded head coach, so I don't see how they can't go defense here, even though they picked up Mike Glennon as quarterback. I don't think he's the answer, but he's probably better than Jay Cutler. But
yeah, I don't get why they paid Mike Glennon all that money. they could have just paid me that money and would have pretty much got the same amount of production. But that's my opinion.
See, what I don't understand is why did Chicago make a run after a better answer at the quarterback position? I mean, look what Cleveland done. I mean, they was begging somebody to take Osweiler. I mean, pretty much saying, please, somebody just offer us a bag of chips and a Coke. I mean, I think he would have fit decently in that Chicago offense. But,
yeah.
You know, we're not high-ranking NFL officials, so maybe our opinion really doesn't matter.
I could have offered them this used beer and probably got enough for it. I don't know. I mean, it's John Fox. I mean, he wasn't he the coach for Jake Delhomme at Carolina, Jimmy? Isn't that right?
Yeah, he was the head coach with Delhomme at quarterback. Yeah. He was able to have Steve Smith, who was a great receiver. He won the Triple Crown in receiving with Jake Delhomme as a quarterback and John Fox running the ball, smash mouth. So
and he's got a couple pieces at running back. They let Alshon Jeffery get away, but maybe they feel like they've got the pieces around him. I don't know. We'll see, I guess. I'll do number four with the fourth pick in the 2017 NFL draft. The Jacksonville Jaguars take Leonard Fournette, running back, LSU Tigers. I know that's not maybe the super popular pick at that spot, but the Jaguars have really spent on their defensive line a lot in the last couple of years. I feel like they're at the point where they have to put weapons around their quarterback to make him successful. And I think Leonard Fournette is the best offensive player in this draft. He's phenomenal. He's gotten higher grades than Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott. He's been referred to as the next Adrian Peterson. Those are lofty ambitions, lofty goals for him to live up to. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars have to go with that prolific of an offensive weapon at the number four spot. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'll step in here. I got the Jaguars taking Fournette as well. And I'm a big Fournette fan. Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe, just maybe, the Panthers could get him. Because, I mean, if you put him back there with Cam Newton and, as much as they like to run the ball, I was like, that would just absolutely send the Panthers up to elite offensive status. But unless they trade up, they're not going to get him. I think the Jaguars, like you said, they have to take him. He'll help with the pass protection, help some of the pressure off before Bortles. And, I mean, you just watch his highlight film. He's just a beast.
Yeah. Oh, dude. He trucks people on a regular basis.
And then if he doesn't run over, he just runs past him. Whoever he goes to, I'm going to get his jersey. Just even if it's the Jaguars, that's how much I like him. So, Fournette to the Jaguars.
I'll be making that pick a clean sweep as well. I think that's the most logical pick. The Jags need a running game. Chris Ivory is not doing it. TJ Yeldon. TJ Yeldon is typical. This is it's the article that will be forthcoming. So everybody look when I actually quit being lazy. Alabama running backs, great college players, terrible pro transition. They basically run behind a pro line at Alabama because Alabama is a great recruiting school. They come up to the NFL, and Alabama running backs are a marginal success. I mean, yeah, you get a couple of the exceptions, but for the most part, Alabama running back in the NFL equals disaster. So I think they're going to move on from that, make the logical pick, add a running game, and actually start competing in that division. If not, I will go on the record and say, at number four, Jacksonville wins the division this year.
What?
Wow.
I'm going on record. The last time I made a bold prediction was on my previous podcast that I ran, and I said within 3 years, the Oakland Raiders will be contending as a Super Bowl contender, and that would have came true if Carr would not have broke his leg this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're about to add Marshawn Lynch to that, so.
Wouldn't that be something?
All right, so I'll take number five. I got Tennessee Titans. This is where it kind of gets a little interesting for me. I got Tennessee taking wide receiver Mike Williams out of Clemson.
Wow.
Interesting.
Uh, Their defense is all right. I mean, there's a lot of defensive players in this, but I just think Mike Williams is going to be the next superstar receiver. Clemson's been pumping out receivers left and right just about every year. They got DeAndre Hopkins, Sammy Watkins, Martavis Bryant. They've just been pumping out receivers. I think Mike Williams is better than all of them. And you put him with DeMarco Murray and Marcus Mariota and Delanie Walker, I think they'll have a pretty good offense. And someone else for Mariota to throw to.
That's a very interesting pick. I mean, you know, adding to that offense could be interesting. I don't think we're going to get the running production out of Tennessee that we thought we would. I think it's going to be more of a committee, and we all see, you know, see previous statement Alabama running backs. But I'm right there with you, man. I mean, you added a nice vertical threat with Mariota, and you could that team could be a contender.
Who do you have at the five spot, Jason?
Actually, I have Solomon Thomas, defensive end, out of Stanford. Okay. I think that you know it's going to be they need to add a pass rusher, a young pass rusher, and I think this is where you know the value comes in. There's a lot of players that you could take here. But I think that Tennessee's going to add a nice dominant to try to contain people and not have Mariota have a shootout every weekend.
I mean, that makes sense. I've actually got – now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Titans have three picks in the first round, 5, 18, and 25, correct?
No.
I don't think they have – is it Texans?
They've got two.
They have two.
Texans are at 25.
So 5 and at 25. Okay.
5 and 18,
right?
5 and 18, yeah.
So I have the Titans taking Marshon Lattimore, cornerback from Ohio State University. I think he's the best cover corner in this draft, and I think that's something that they really need. They're at 5. There are several wide receivers they can take later on in this draft. I consider Mike Williams, actually, which is kind of funny. I actually considered him at this spot for a little bit, but I felt like their need for a top corner outweighed the need for the wide receiver. And I think the corner is harder to come by than the wide receiver, so I felt like that's the direction that they would go.
Makes sense. Okay.
Well, we are going to move on to the Jets.
Yep, going to the Jets.
Go ahead. Because that is a nice segue, because I actually have Lattimore going to Jets, filling the demise of Revis Island. And I think that Lattimore is the answer. Like I said, this is where I go back. These picks right here, these next three picks are really interchangeable. All three teams need to go defense, because you got the Titans, Jets, and next on the clock after this pick will be the Chargers. You need defense in all three of these. And I think these three picks will be very interchangeable. So, actually, I think Lattimore will be a better pick for the Jets, to fill that Revis downfall and give New York another dominant corner defensive back for many years to come.
All right, Michael, what you got?
Number 6, I have the Jets taking safety Jamal Adams from LSU. I'm sort of the same mindset that they need to go secondary here in this early part of the draft. Their secondary is terrible, completely terrible. They had a converted, well, he was a linebacker in college, Antonio Allen. He's a linebacker in college at South Carolina, playing corner at one point in the last couple of years. So, I mean, they just need so many bodies back there. So that's why I was of the opinion that, hey, they need to go secondary. And I thought at 6, with Lattimore off the board, Adams is the next safest pick.
Yeah, I kind of went the opposite direction. They've pretty much lost everyone. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have an offensive line. They don't really have any receivers. They're talking about losing Eric Decker. So I just said they're going with the best offensive player available. And that would be Dalvin Cook. So I got the Jets taking Dalvin Cook at 6. I know they have Fournette, but Forte, but he's getting up there in years. I just think I haven't really paid attention to the Jets, so I just said they go with the best available offensive player.
No, I mean I agree with you. I mean, I think they just got a ton of problems in their back seven.
They might go 0-16 next year.
That bad, huh?
Yeah, that's what they don't have any.
It's a good possibility.
Man, that's rough. I'm not a Jets fan, but I would hate to be one. But yeah, they need a lot of help. And I could see that they there are several good defensive backs in this draft. I mean, they could drop back, pick up another pick, drop five rounds or whatever, and maybe still have a shot at Marlon Humphrey or Garyon Conley or some of these other guys. Heck, I mean, Jabril Peppers is on the board. I mean, he can play anywhere. So
yeah,
I think there are a lot of options. So they may be best served to drop back and pick up some extra picks down the road.
Because they have nothing.
Yeah. Number seven, the 2017 NFL draft, the Chargers select Solomon Thomas, defensive end of Stanford. I know Teasley had him going a little earlier. I had him mainly dropping just because of need. Nothing really, dude's super good. Really, that was the only reason. And I don't know that the Chargers need him, but I think him falling that far, when some people have him projected as the number two pick, I think him falling that far is going to be for the Chargers. We have to take this guy. He fell five, six spots, however far, wherever you think he should go. This is a guy that we need to snatch up. And I mean, to pair him with Joey Bosa and some of the other guys that he's got or that they have, I think it just adds to what they want to do, especially on the defensive line.
Yeah, I've got I have Malik Hooker dropping down to the Chargers. I know y'all had him going a little earlier, but
well, he's hurt. So I mean, that's a concern that a lot of people have, is that he's still got some time before he's fully healed. I think I saw 2 to 4 months. I don't know if that's 100% accurate, but
yeah, they're expecting to be back right around OTAs, last thing I seen.
Yeah. They picked Bosa last year, so I figured they'd continue to build a defense and pick up Malik Hooker with this pick, just the way that my draft has fallen. It would definitely help their defense once he gets healthy and everything. So they lost Eric Weddle, and they never really replaced him.
That's true.
So they need somebody back there in the secondary to help Bosa out a little bit.
And when he's healthy, I think Hooker is the best option as far as the safeties go in this draft. I mean, Jamal Adams isn't far behind, but those two are a little bit different in what they do and their skill sets. So, but I think most people would acknowledge that Hooker is the best safety in this class when healthy. What about you, Jason? Who you got?
This is following. I do believe they go secondary, but I think they go Jamal Adams. Pairing him with Bosa and Tao, and I think that's going to be a nice young core defense. I mean, basically they had Tao's girlfriend playing secondary last year, and we all know how that worked out. So I think with Hooker being off the board, I think Jamal Adams would be the logical choice here to shore up their secondary.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that's a position that they certainly need. So I wouldn't have any. I mean, I don't think anybody would have a problem with them taking, any three of those picks at that position. That's the good thing. All three of those, I think, are really good picks that would definitely improve their defense.
Yeah.
So we should let Jimmy do the Panthers, since it's his.
It falls to Jimmy, doesn't it?
I think it does, but just.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and do the Panthers. I really want Fournette as a Panther fan, but everyone's got him going to Jaguars. So the way my draft has fallen, they would be running to the podium, tripping over people, trying to get to their pick in if this happened. I got them picking Solomon Thomas.
Mm.
Like they would be trying to fly over people trying to get there. Because Gettleman loves big guys on the line of scrimmage, and he loves pass rushers. I mean, last year we didn't have a cornerback, and he went with a defensive tackle in the first round. So it just shows you the way he wants to build the defense. And then they brought in Julius Peppers they brought him back. I'm assuming they're wanting to groom another pass rusher with him. So our two starters right now are Julius Peppers and Charles Johnson. Both of them are over 30 years old. So I'd be surprised if they don't go defensive end either. If Solomon Thomas isn't there, they'd probably go Derek Barnett. But the way my draft has fallen is their pick is Solomon Thomas here.
Cool.
Well, I think that they're going to be running to the podium with a different name on the court. And I really hope the Panthers, and you know, you being a Panthers fan, Jimmy, that I'm going to kind of point something out. I hope Fournette does not go to the Panthers. Why? not because of the talent. It's because Cam doesn't like giving the ball up. And Cam likes to put himself on the line. Vulture.
But does he not like giving the ball up, or does he not have anyone to give the ball up to?
No, he doesn't like. He's a selfish person.
Okay.
He's selfish. But I do believe they go running back, and I think they go Christian McCaffrey out of Stanford.
What?
I'm telling you, I think that Stu's got 1 year left in Carolina, if that. Artist Payne isn't the answer. And I think that they see McCaffrey as a better fit in that offense along with Cam. So I think that they're going to be running and looking for that nice young running back to, you know, be the complimentary ball carrier behind Cam Newton, because we all know that Cam's all about his touchdown vulture stats. So I think I got the shock of the draft thus far.
Yeah. Now some people have been saying that they've heard, you know, that Christian McCaffrey could go in the top 10. So that's like a name that has been floating around, and you hear that. I go a little different.
Mark Jeffers going with McCaffrey at the 8. I think he's a good pick. I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's a pick at 8. I could be wrong, but I just don't think they go McCaffrey at 8.
Jimmy actually said it a second ago. He said that, you know, last year when they needed a corner, they went with a defensive tackle, which begs the question, will they do it a second time? And I say no. I think that the Panthers at number 8 will select Garyon Conley, cornerback from Ohio State University, to put a top-level young body in that secondary. Maybe if Adams or Hooker or one of those other guys had fallen, would have made it a lot easier. Or if, like you said, if Solomon Thomas is there, I could see them taking him over a defensive back. But on my draft board, Thomas went the round before to the Chargers, the pick before to the Chargers. So I've got the Panthers going Garyon Conley, and I think that's the position that they need to fill. But I don't have a problem with Thomas going there either. So.
All right. The Bengals are on the board, and it's me leading it off. I think this pick, when you guys had him going a little bit higher, I think he falls to the Bengals strictly because of the arthritic shoulder, you know, and everybody saying he's just got average athleticism. This defensive lineman drops a little bit, and he falls to the Bengals at number 9, and that's Jonathan Allen.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's a good pick, especially if he falls. I mean, the Bengals could definitely use someone of his caliber on their front, in their front 7. I actually have the Bengals taking a linebacker. Sometimes the Bengals make sort of questionable picks, and I don't know that they need Reuben Foster, linebacker from Alabama. But that's who I have him. That's who I'm having taking. I think he's one of the top linebackers in the class, if not the top linebacker. Runs like the wind, hits like a train. Question is, can he cover in space well enough for what the Bengals want to do? And I know there was some talk about Jonathan Allen going there. I actually have Jonathan Allen falling a little bit farther because of his shoulder injury, but they still take an Alabama player. Reuben Foster's who I've got. What about you, Jimmy?
I've got the Bengals taking wide receiver Corey Davis, pair with A.J. Green, and that could be kind of scary because they still have Geo and Jeremy Hill. And if, you know, if Tyler Eifert ever gets healthy again, you know, you see what that offense did with him. It's like if they had AJ Green, Corey Davis, and Eifert all on the same page with Andy Dalton, it could be a scary offense.
That definitely would be a pretty nightmarish matchup for any defense coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you defend that? I mean, how do you defend AJ Green on one side, Corey Davis on the other, Tyler Eifert eating up the middle of the field, Geo underneath? I mean, you just have to hope that Andy Dalton has one of his, you know, I forget that I'm on the football field type games, and starts just throwing it to anybody that he can find.
All right, I want to throw a side note out here. Do you think that they realized that the Tyler Boyd was a bust pick last year, or do you think they're still trying to groom him?
I think they're still trying to groom him, but I don't know that it's going to work out, but that's my opinion. I think they're still invested in him, and I think that which is part of the reason why I don't have them taking a wide receiver there. But if they did, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think they're still giving Tyler Boyd a little bit of opportunity.
I think he's on a very short leash, though.
Yeah, probably.
I just figure a talent like Corey Davis, a lot of people have him as the number one receiver in the draft, and
he's not.
Yeah, I don't think he is either.
I've gotten Davis going a little bit later in the draft.
Attitude.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people saying that he's the best receiver in the draft. I think Mike Williams is.
Well, a lot of people is wrong. Okay. If they're listening to this podcast, then you know they're getting the expert opinions, and they're getting great analysis. I think we should. I think after we get this done, we should send this out to all 32 teams and just to see if anybody listens.
I thought we were doing that already. Just,
well, you know.
Hey, I will throw this in. I actually think, and this is just my own opinion, I think that the Browns trade up to the number 9 spot to take Deshaun Watson.
You really think so?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I think they moved from 12 to 9 to take Watson.
So, my 12 pick, I've got the Browns standing at 12, and I think my 12 pick is going to be a little surprise.
So what are we at? We're at number 10 now?
Yeah, 10. We're at number 10 with the Bills.
My turn, right?
Yeah.
All right, the Bills 2017 NFL Draft, the Buffalo Bills take Deshaun Watson, quarterback, Clemson University. I don't see how. I mean, the Bills do nothing but draft ACC players. And you've got, like, the greatest ACC player of all time sitting here at their draft pick. How do they not take him? That's why I think the Bills. Browns. Yeah, I think.
That's why they don't take him.
Well, maybe. But that's why I think. Ultimately, I think that's why. I mean, since we're not factoring in trades, of course. I think that's why in real life the Browns will trade back into the top 10 because they've got a plethora of picks here to take Watson. And so they'll get out of the top 10 with Garrett and Watson. That would be a heck of a move if they pulled it off. But as it is, if that doesn't happen, I have the Bills taking Deshaun Watson. I agree with Jimmy. I think he's the best quarterback on the board. I'm a South Carolina fan, so I don't like him. I mean, I don't like Clemson. But, man, I watched him, and he's not the biggest. He's not the strongest. He's not the fastest. But from all accounts, he works hard. He's really smart, has a good football IQ, and there is something about Deshaun Watson that you can't teach. And it's that when you watch him late in games, when the game's on the line, yes, he has Mike Williams and he had Jordan Leggett and he had all these guys that he could throw to. But when you watched him, it seemed like he almost always made the right decision. And yeah, he had Mike Williams could go up 10 feet in the air and catch the ball, but he threw it 10 feet in the air because he knew. Or he would throw it really low for his other guy to catch it. I mean, he always was so good on ball placement and always seemed to make the right decision and just had quiet confidence, and his team fed from that. And, I think that's – you can't teach that. You can't teach that, and I think that's why he's the best quarterback on the board. And the Bills should be lucky that he fell to him.
Yeah, how many games did Clemson lose while he was there?
Not enough, but, hey, yeah, not very many. While he was there – or why he was the starter. While he was the starter, it was like one or two.
Yeah,
Yeah, but, I mean, he flicks the ball, and it's just flicks his wrist, and the ball's like a million yards down the field. But he's the best quarterback on the board, and I think he goes to Buffalo. What do y'all think?
I've got Buffalo. Deshaun Watson already off my board. He went to the 49ers. So, and at Buffalo, they already made a small commitment to Tyrod Taylor. So I think they go in a different direction, and they take – John Ross, a wide receiver. And I know that's not a very popular pick or anything, but that's another offensive weapon. They got LeSean McCoy, they have Sammy Watkins, and then you got the speed demon on the other side. I think it would really open up their offense. Their defense is good. We saw that a couple years ago, and they got Sean McDermott, defensive coordinator from Carolina Panthers. I think he's going to be a really good head coach. I think he's going to get that Buffalo Bills defense back to top 10, top 5, somewhere.
I agree. So,
I think that they're switching back to a 4-3 defense instead of the 3-4, which never should have happened. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think they picked John Ross, and it just completely opens up their offense.
I've got Ross going a little bit later. I think Buffalo goes defense and takes the third defensive back from Ohio State in the top 10 and takes Conley.
Ah, okay. Nice.
I think that's something that Buffalo was known for their defense back in their heyday. You know, I've said it multiple times, with all the defensive players, defense wins championships. You got some solid pieces on offense that you can work with. That defense, though, is a little shaky. So I think that they start building that defense, and what better way to do that than build around your defensive backfield, plug some holes, get a nice guy back there that could be a game changer for years to come. So I think they go, like I said, a third Ohio State defensive back and the top 10 with Conley.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it makes sense. They lost Gilmore too. So
yeah. Where'd he go? Oh yeah, didn't he go to the Patriots too?
Yeah, he's with the Patriots as well.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the Patriots just keep getting better.
They win the Super Bowl and they're already. Just go ahead and give them the trophy for the next one.
Unbelievable. All right, who you got for 11?
For 11, the New Orleans Saints, division rival, got them taking Derrick Burns from Tennessee, defensive end. Their defense is horrible. You can put anybody on the offensive side with Drew Brees, and he's going to throw for 5,000 yards and 500 touchdowns. So he needs help on the other side of the ball, and I think they take the best defensive lineman that is available at this point, and that was Derek Barnett on my board.
I'm going to have to agree. I've got Barnett as well as my number 11 pick. I think he's a relentless pass rusher that can get after quarterbacks, that can, you know, can basically change the momentum of a game and dictate, you know, the flow of the game. And the Saints are not known for their defense. So I think that he will be a very well received into the Saints organization. And I think that he will be a real game changer for when Drew Brees finally decides to hang up his walker. They can start building around their defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I actually, since I actually have the Saints taking Jonathan Allen, because I still have him on my board at 11. But it's the same thing as you guys were talking about. It's building their defensive line, getting to where they're getting after the quarterback, stopping the run. I basically just had a different player there. But yeah, I think it's the same. I think everybody is looking at the Saints to do that. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Number 12, Mr. Browns.
Here is the one that I think that you guys are going to question. I really hope this guy falls drastically to my Giants, and that is O.J. Howard from Alabama. I think that he is Barnage incarcerated, but I think that O.J. Howard is more of a game chamber like Shockey was. This is why I hope he ends up with the Giants. But I think Cleveland goes Howard here because you need a solid safety valve for any quarterback you have, especially if they go a young quarterback later on, or they, you know, whatever they decide to do with it, they need that safety valve. Any good quarterback has a legit safety valve that they can dump the ball off to and eat up yards with. And I think Howard is that going to be that kind of player if Cleveland takes him, or whoever he goes to. I think he's going to be a special tight end, big, athletic. He's got great hands. So yeah, I think that I think O.J. Howard at 12 is a bit of a reach, but I think that it could be a huge payoff.
Yeah, I could see it. I actually have the Browns. You know, I told you I thought the Browns would trade out of this spot. I actually have them taking Derek Barnett, defensive end from Tennessee, at 12, just to continue to bolster. I think that's a good solid pick for them. And it's not too much of a reach for Howard. I have him going in the top 15. But I thought that with the defensive ends that are available, I thought it was an opportunity for the Browns to bolster their defensive line.
And that'd be crazy if they got Derek Barnett and Myles Garrett in the same draft.
Yeah.
I had that pick before I switched some things around. But instead, I've got the Browns taking their man, Mitch Trubisky, at the 12. He'll probably be there. I don't see the only other team that really needs a quarterback is the Jets. And I don't think they're going to take him a top 10. So I think Mitch Trubisky will fall down to the 12th spot. If Deshaun Watson's taken first, I think he'll definitely fall, and he'll be there at 12 for the Browns.
It's certainly possible. The way teams have talked and batted around, you know, I mean, it would be amazing if the two players that they were talking about at 1 and 2, they got at 1 and 12.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. I mean, that would be a godsend to Browns fans.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That would be your movie come to life.
That would make Jesse Star Trek.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's see, what are we at? 13. 2017 draft. The Arizona Cardinals select Mike Williams, wide receiver, Clemson University. I think him sitting there, Floyd really hasn't turned out. Fitzgerald's about to be done. I think, man, you, the number one wide receiver on the board is sitting there looking at you, and you want to throw the ball, and you got David Johnson, you run it and throw it. And I just think that's too much for them to pass up. I think he's a big, rangy, run like the wind. I mean, he's not that fast, but he can run, and he can jump, and he can catch. I think he's the number one wide receiver on the board, and I think the Cardinals sitting there have to take him.
Yeah, on my board, I've already had three receivers taken. I don't see how the Cardinals can't take a receiver, because they basically have a playoff team. They just had a down year.
Yeah.
But they need to address the receiver position, and got the fourth receiver taken in the top 15 picks. Have them taking Zay Jones out of East Carolina.
Ah.
I originally had the guy from USC, Juju Schuster.
Yeah.
Schuster Smith, whatever his name is. But I switched it to Zay Jones. I think he's a better prospect.
But I'm right there with you. I've got Mike Williams also going there, coming in, pairing him in the past. Well, what once was a pass happy field, David Johnson landed there. But Arizona still likes to throw the ball. You got to have a nice balance passing running game so Johnson can get open. If you don't believe, then you need a passing game for your running back. Just add Todd Gurley. But I think Mike Williams here is a logical pick. I mean, best receiver in the draft, in my opinion. Fitzgerald's on his way out, and I think that just coming to him, letting Fitzgerald groom him, will be very beneficiary for not only the Cardinals organization, but Williams and as a pro in general. So I've got, like I said, Mike Williams, wide receiver.
Yeah, 14 is my pick.
Yeah, 14.
I got the 14th pick, the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think this is. I guess I think it's going to happen because that's how my board played out. But I got them taking Jamal Adams. I don't think they can pass up on a potential perennial All Pro in their secondary. They need secondary. They address the receiver position in the free agency. Only thing else I think they might could go here is running back. But I don't think if Jamal Adams is there, I don't think they pass him up.
I'm actually going a little bit different. I know this is going to be a log jam once I make the pick in there. John Ross. It will be. I think that gives a nice vertical threat. It goes. You know, and I think that this, once this pick's made, Jordan Matthews, it may slowly see a end. I think that he is a nice vertical threat that Wentz will love throwing the ball, slinging it downfield. And I think that, like I said, it causes a log jam with the wide receivers in Philadelphia. So it's a bit of a stretch, but I'm all about making controversial picks.
I like it. I actually have your boy OJ Howard going to the Eagles. I don't know. It seems like the one position that they've really had a hard time getting a consistent performer at. Someone that can stretch the field, someone that can catch, run. And I think that a player of OJ Howard's caliber gives the Eagles, particularly now that they have Alshon Jeffrey, I think it gives them something in the middle of the field that can cause teams to really, really question, you know, what they're doing defensively, to really sort of give them pause.
I think it's a good pick because Ertz is hit or miss.
Yeah, he really is. And they've had other picks at that position that didn't really pan out. Other players that they brought in from time to time, and it just seems like, meh, you know. So I think I think OJ Howard brings a really special skill set, because he can also block too. So he can be an inline blocker for when they need him to be. Now I think that's going to be a big part of what they want to do going forward. As far as their running game goes, I think his ability to be an inline blocker and take on defensive ends is going to help them a lot.
And you know, it goes back to what I said when I was assisting him in Cleveland. You need that safety valve, and that it's a nice safety valve to have.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. So who's at 15? Colt.
The Colts pick number 15. I've got Deion Dawkins. I think the front office wants to continue to try to rebuild the offensive line to keep Luck upright. Because I mean, Luck is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but if he's not, if he's getting hit from all directions and there's no offensive line in front of him, he can't produce. So I think this could be a good pick for the Colts, because it helps secure that offensive line. And with that offensive line, you can't run, you can't pass. Luck can't throw from his back if he's laying down. So I think they need to secure that offensive line before they can do anything else.
Yeah, no, you're right. I have them taking Ryan Ramczyk. I think it's how you pronounce it. Maybe I hope I didn't butcher it. Sorry, Ryan. Offensive tackle from Wisconsin. I agree with you 100%. They've got to do something to address that offensive line. And he's the safest tackle. He can also play guard, by the way. He also play right guard or right tackle. And I think he's the safest offensive line pick on the board. So I think that's where they have to go.
Yeah, I went slightly different. I got OJ Howard going to the Colts.
Okay. That's a solid pick.
I mean, he can, like you said, he can block, but he can also run out there and catch. And I think it's just give another weapon for Andrew Luck. He doesn't have that many weapons anymore, but they still have T.Y. Hilton, and getting O.J. Howard to help him, you know, like you said, with the safety valve, and he can step back and block if he needs to.
Yeah, I mean, it'll work. I think that it's not necessarily what they need, but that's sort of been their M.O. the last few years, is we're just going to put people around Andrew Luck that can catch the ball and that can go make plays for us, and a lot of times they've really needed to go other places. So I wouldn't be surprised if they took a player like O.J. Howard.
And Dwayne Mellon again to the Patriots. So,
so let's see. Ravens, with the 16th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, I have the Baltimore Ravens taking Christian McCaffrey, listed as a running back from Stanford. But we know that he can play a lot of other different positions. He can do a lot of different things. The Ravens don't really, I mean, they need help, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And a prolific playmaker like McCaffrey, I think, gives him a lot of options. He could probably move out into the slot on, you know, from time to time, not permanently, but run some routes out of the slot. But I think he's a playmaker that that Baltimore sorely needs.
I've got the Ravens going the other side of the ball. I got him taking, I don't know how to say this, Takaris McKinley, linebacker from UCLA.
Okay.
He's just a nonstop, relentless pass rusher off the edge. And I think he could end up being like a poor man's Von Miller. And I think with Terrell Suggs, I don't know if he retired or if he's about to retire or something like that. They're going to lose Suggs if they haven't already. So I think they're going to go ahead and put someone out there on the defensive side.
All right, this poses the question. What do you think? You saying the Ravens taking a running back. You think you're causing a logjam in that backfield, aren't you?
They've had a logjam there for a while, though. I mean,
yeah, you're gonna make drafting a Ravens running back hectic.
Yeah, but I think McCaffrey would be the best one out of that backfield, but he's a rookie. So can he get on the field in passing situations? I mean, it's up to his blocking, you know, how good is his blocking? But I think that's a pick. I think the Ravens backfield is going to be a situation you're going to want to stay away from.
I'm glad you brought up, I'm glad you brought up blocking because with Ozzie Newsome, I think he's going to find a gem here. I think he's going to find a nice offensive anchor in Cam Robinson. Okay. I think it's going to be a lot of people is going to question the pick. You know, you're going to have, but here in the Teasley household, we like, I've sent smoke signals to Ozzie Newsome and told him that, you know, this could be a good value pick for him. And we all know that Ozzie Newsome is one of the better front office people there is because, you know, he understands the game a little bit more through you're to not, playing the game.
You're not biased, are you?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I have his direct smoke signal line that you know, I might be a little bit biased because maybe me and him passed each other in the airport and he didn't know who I was, but, you know.
It happened.
But I think the Ravens need to secure that offensive line first. Before you can get a running back, you need to have somebody blocking for him. So that's why I think, and I think Robinson here is going to be a nice value pick. You're going to, and he's going to be a nice piece of that offensive line for years to come.
Yeah, certainly possible. Jimmy, who you got? The Redskins.
17 Washington Redskins. I have them taking Christian McCaffrey. Okay. Matt Jones, I don't think has shown that he is the answer back there. They've got Kirk Cousins. They signed Terrell Pryor. I think Christian McCaffrey would give them a lot of more options on offense. Like you said, he can go out and play on the slot. He can run the ball. It just gives them a lot of versatility on offense, especially from running back position.
That's true. That's something that they definitely need because Matt Jones is – slow like an ice cream truck. They need somebody that's a little more prolific in his running ability. What about you, Jason?
Oh, I'm one outside linebacker. I seem ready. I think that the Redskins need to do something. I hopefully they don't do much because, you know, they are a division rival. I hope they fall off the face of the earth, honestly. I hope every game gets boycotted by the Native American Indian Association. Instead, I think that Washington made some questionable defensive choices in the past and overpaid a lot of players. And I think that they need to get back on track. And I think Reddick will be a nice piece to that doing so. I mean, like I said, this is a really deep draft. I mean, you got a lot of skilled players. You got a lot of defense players. I think that, you know, when it comes down to it, you're facing the likes of a newly revamped Dallas Cowboys team, the pieces that we added for the Giants, making them as they are with Wentz and offseason acquisition. Going to be the last place team, and they're going to have to do something. It's going to be... We have to stop the bleeding somehow. So I think that they go defense and take an outside linebacker and ready.
I sort of agree with you on the defense part, but I actually have them taking, and this guy is my favorite name of the draft so far, Taco Charlton, defensive end from Michigan. I sort of agree with you on that they need to do something to address their front seven. I think bringing in a defensive end is going to give them a little bit of depth there, and it's going to give them the ability to get after the quarterback a little bit better than what they've had. So I think I flip flopped. I wasn't sure if I was going to have Barnett there or Charlton, but I'm going to go Taco Charlton there.
It's a nice name, Taco.
I know. I love it.
Password is Taco.
Taco.
Okay. I'm going to go with, I'm on the clock with the Tennessee Titans leading the way. I'm going to go Corey Davis here. I think that they get a nice value pick right here The whole reason I think that Davis fell this far is he didn't like working out for teams in the offseason. Nobody really got a good look at him. And, you know, being from Western Michigan, you know, he wasn't really high profile anyway. So he could have benefited and helped himself out if he would have worked out for teams. But, you know, his stubbornness might hurt him. And if so, it's the steal of the draft for the Titans to get him here at 18.
I actually agree. I have Corey Davis going to the Titans as well. The DGB project is not going to work. And if you're serious about Marcus Mariota, you've got to give him some top level weapons. And they've done something to address their running game. I think Davis is a definite step in the right direction to upgrade that passing attack.
I've got the Tennessee Titans taking at the 18th spot. You haven't heard me call his name yet, Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I've been following him a pretty good way, then.
Yeah, you had him going, I think, at 5, and I took Mike Williams at 5, so.
Yeah.
I had him going at 6, and yeah. They had him, so we had him real high, and you got him falling all the way down.
Yeah, I don't know why, it's just how my draft fell. I mean, it's very possible they could take Lattimore at 5 and go receiver at 18, but either way, we still, looks like everybody knows what Titans are going after.
Yeah, we had him corner. Our secondary, and then an offensive weapon, wide receiver. So yeah,
yeah.
Let's see. I guess I'm up. Number 9. What did you say?
I said, "Yep, you're up with the
Buccaneers."
Looks like the Bucs.
The 19th pick of the 2017 NFL Draft. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers select Marlon Humphrey, cornerback, University of Alabama. I think at this point he's. There's only a couple other really top level defensive backs, left on the board, and I think that's just a pick that they've got to make there. I mean, they could have gone a couple different directions. Reddick, they could have done something to address their offensive line, but I think Humphrey is a solid corner there, and I think he's someone that can really bring a physicality to their secondary that I think they need.
That's interesting. I got the Buccaneers, I have them taking Alvin Kamara, running back. He's a...
Speaking of crowded backfields.
Yeah, Doug Martin and Charles Sims and Jacquizz Rodgers. I don't think he did well last year filling in when everybody got hurt, but I don't think he's the answer. Charles Sims can't seem to stay healthy, neither can Doug Martin. I think they're going to move on from Doug Martin eventually.
Jacquizz's not the answer? What are you talking about?
But I think Alvin Kamara is blown up after the draft. I had him, he was my third best running back, actually coming out before the combine. And I just think he's going to be a star. And I think if Dalvin Cook isn't available, I think they go with Kamara.
It's interesting you mentioned Dalvin Cook, because that's who I have going to the Bucs. And him being reunited with Winston, former Florida State Seminole teammates. I think he's a nice fit there. I think Doug Martin's well on his way out. If he doesn't get traded before the draft or involved in a draft day deal himself, that field will be very crowded. So, but I think Cook is a will be a nice fit here in the Bucs backfield, and let's hope something happens. I mean, I was real happy to see Sims there, being a West Virginia Mountaineer myself. When Sims went there, I thought that he could be a factor, but that ship had sailed, and so they got to look for something to help out, Winston and. Arguably what I think is one of the best wide receivers in the game, Mike Evans. Mm-hmm. So they need to get that running game going, because they can't rely on Winston chucking the ball down the field every chance, every play. They have to have some kind of running game.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, so I'm up next with the Broncos. I've got them. They need offensive line. That just showed last year. They've got two young quarterbacks. They got a decent, two decent running backs, but quarterback never had time. I got them taking Ryan Ramczyk here at 20, because their defense is pretty much set, and they've got good receivers, they've got good running backs, two young quarterbacks they're committed to. I see them going offensive line here.
I will go agree with that. I've got him also. I think that the Broncos are, like I've stated before, you got to protect your quarterback and give your running back holes to run through. So. That being said, you've got to address it on the offensive line. So I'm right there with you. I think Ramczyk is the pick that the Broncos need to take, and I think they'll be very happy with that pick.
I agree. Well, not on the exact pick, but I actually have them taking Forrest Lamb, the guard from Western Kentucky. But I agree. They've got to do something to address that offensive line. I mean, it doesn't do them any good to have running back some new quarterbacks and playmakers if you can't protect them. So, I agree.
All right, so we are on to the Lions at 21, and that will be me. I'm going to go Reuben Foster. Though his maturity's coming into question, along with a recent shoulder injury will cause him to drop. But I think Detroit, I think if they're going to be willing to roll the dice right here. I mean, if anybody knows the history of Detroit in drafts, they'll be thankful that they're not taking a receiver in the first round. Like, so many years they did continuously, and it only paid off once. I think Foster is a nice pick for the Lions to roll the dice on.
I've actually got them taking Hassan Reddick. I think you had him going earlier, the linebacker from Temple. I think they've got to do something to start addressing their defense. I had Reuben Foster going earlier to the Bengals because you said, you know, maturity issues, and there's nobody that likes players with maturity issues more than the Bengals. But I think Reddick and then maybe a player like Jared Davis or even Charles Harris. Those are three players that I sort of batted around, ultimately settling on Reddick. But I feel like they've got to do something to address their linebackers. And I think that with that pick right there, 21, I think that's – I mean, it could be either one of those three, in my opinion. But I chose Reddick to go there.
I've got a slight surprise with the Lions. I got have them taking Jabril Peppers.
Mm.
He can play, you know, he can play just about every position you want. But I think they'll put him at safety and maybe have him creep up on linebacker sometimes. You know, they'll just be able to – they dress kind of two positions at once if they draft him, and he stays up there in Michigan. So,
Yeah. That's, hey, hometown boy. I mean, that makes a difference sometimes. Let's see. So I guess Dolphins is me. Number 22nd pick of the 2017 NFL draft. Miami Dolphins select Jared Davis, linebacker from Florida. Sort of the same thing. They need to address their linebackers. I think that's a pick that maybe doesn't pay off like right away, but he does. You know, that he's going to get involved, get his hands dirty a little bit. That, to me, that feels more like a maybe a next year pick. But it's a Florida, like to your point, this is a Florida guy staying in Miami. So I think that's that is a part of it in some way. But ultimately, I think they've got to do something to fix their linebacking core.
All right, in Miami, I got them taking Cam Robinson. They traded Brandon Albert and they picked up Julius Thomas for tight end, and then they drafted Laremy Tunsil last year, and it looks like they're going to move him to left tackle. And if they draft Cam Robinson here, they can put him at right tackle and have their two bookends for, you know, the next 10 years.
Yeah,
so that's what I got Miami taking.
I've got Forrest Lamb going to the Dolphins. I mean, they took they're moving Tunsil to left tackle. You could plug Glam in at guard, and that gives you a solid offensive line. I think that Miami is on the verge of doing something.
Mm-hmm.
It could either be Miami's one of those teams, I think, that could be contenders, or they could just totally go the way of being great on paper and not producing on the field. So I think that they take Lamb and secure an offensive line and hopefully give them some time to get the ball to playmakers like Parker and everyone downfield.
Yeah, I've got Jarvis Landry on my dynasty team, so any more time you can give Ryan Tannehill time to give him the ball, I'm all for it.
You'll be thankful, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to give this pick to Jason here.
Since it's all right. So I traded up to 23 to take the pick. This is the Giants. With OJ being off the board, I think the Giants go tight end. And David Njoku out of Miami, I think that last time Eli was paired with a Miami tight end, I do remember a Super Bowl trophy being raised, and that was Jeremy Shockey, even though Shockey wasn't on the field half the time. But, I like to play the favoritism and Homer and all the superstitious things. So I think that this is a nice fit. But if OJ lands here, I would be extremely happy. I think that there's a lot more needs that the Giants could address, namely offensive line. But like I said, I mean, a good strong tight end adding to the likes of Sterling Shepard, Beckham, and now Brandon Marshall with an experienced Patriot slayer like Eli. Yeah, you know, I had to throw that jab in there. I think that would make that would be a definite nightmare for a defense coordinator to try to cover all these weapons that Eli will have at his disposal.
Speaking of weapons, I'm holding up my Rocket Raccoon bobblehead that I have here. Your producer will be happy and excited about that, I'm sure. Because my pick at number 23 for the New York Giants is none other than Florida State running back Dalvin Cook, the Rocket.
I like it.
I've got him going to the Giants. I think that puts to rest any of the talk about their running backs. I hate it for those guys, but none of them are Dalvin Cook, and that's the truth. And I think that they've needed somebody like him for a long time, and he's still sitting there at 23. And they could take some offensive linemen. They could take somebody else, but you don't pass up on a talent like Dalvin Cook if he's sitting there. And he could be the, you know, he could be the player that puts that offense into the top 10, top 8 in the NFL. I think he's that good.
Yeah, if Cook fell that far, I have the second pick in our dynasty draft. I would definitely have no qualms taking Cook with that second pick if he fell to the Giants. But I have someone else falling to the Giants. Y'all mentioned maturity issues, and then the recent little debacle they came up with said his drug test at the combine was diluted. I got him taking Reuben Foster. I know they've invested a lot in their defense. They definitely need a running back, but I've already got four running backs coming off, and I don't think they'll reach for one at 23. I think they take the best player available, and that would be Reuben Foster.
Yeah, I can see that. I had Reuben Foster going a lot higher than y'all did, simply because I thought that the Bengals would reach on him. But if they don't, then I could easily foresee him falling into the mid-20s or even later in the first round.
And if he goes to the Giants also, that puts their defense – they were already number two defense last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I'm pretty sure that they was number two. Number two or three.
Yeah, I mean, they were top five, and then they get a linebacker late, Reuben Foster.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy, you got the Raiders.
All right, the Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, God, I can't even stand it at all.
Yeah, I don't like it. I've got them taking – they're pretty much set on offense, so I went to the defensive side, which is also scary. They have Bruce Irvin. They got someone from Seattle. I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, they got Irvin. Bruce Irvin's in
– Yeah, Bruce Irvin. And they have Khalil Mack. They drafted a safety last year. I think they go with they have Gary and Conley, defensive back, going to the Raiders at 20. Okay.
I like it. I'm going defensive back as well, but I'm going Kevin King at corner. I think that it's a scary sight to see the corners that they're amassing and that defense that they're amassing. And I think this will be year three of my prediction of the Raiders going being at least AFC championship. So I think with them adding Kevin King, I think the Raiders can legitimately be a Super Bowl contender this year.
I agree.
As long as no health injuries, you know, they're talking about adding Lynch, which I really don't think is going to happen. I think they're last report I said they're about $8 million apart in a contract, and I think Seattle is not going to. I think Seattle is going to play hardball with Lynch. They still have his rights. I think that they're going to. With the debacle in Seattle, I think that they're saying, look, we need a running back. So if you're going to play, you're going to play for us.
Yeah. I've actually got him taking a linebacker, surprisingly. Charles Harris, outside linebacker from Missouri. I think it's part of their plan. It fits into their plan of a stout front seven. I think they can find a corner maybe later on. But I think that I wouldn't be surprised if they – if they traded back down to the early part of the second round to go get another corner, but I've got them taking outside linebacker here to bolster that pass rush and that run defense. So I guess that makes the 25th pick. That's the Texans. I've got the Texans taking Cam Robinson, offensive tackle from Alabama. It's sort of a best player available pickup. I know you guys had him going a little bit earlier, but I think that he fits what they want to do. And I mean, whether or not they have anybody that's capable of throwing the ball or delivering the ball is another question, but at least they'll have some protection.
All right. I guess I'll go with next. I got Houston going the same route, but with a different player. I got them taking Forrest Lamp. Like if they don't have a quarterback, they can at least plug the holes and help whoever's back there throwing the ball, and maybe they can open up some holes in the run game to help the offense along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm actually going to go with a quarterback for the Texans, Patrick Mahomes. I could see him falling this far, but there's a lot of quarterback needy teams in this draft, so you never know. Some team may jump up and reach and try to take a quarterback. But I think that Mahomes will be a nice fit. And Texans, who missed out on Romo deciding to go to the sportscaster and retire when everybody had high hopes that he would go to the Texans. So I think the Texans need a nice franchise quarterback to get Hopkins the ball. I think Mahomes can feel that. I don't see him as a huge playmaker, but we're going to be talking about somebody that I compare him to in about two picks, an established quarterback in the NFL. But I think that he comes in, he's a game manager. He's not going to be throwing for ungodly fantasy points or anything, but I think he's going to be able to be that game manager and still get Hopkins the ball and legitimately dictate the pace of a team, of a offense and game.
I think I know. He's a lot more like Alex Smith than he is a lot of the other quarterbacks.
See, I'm glad that you was thinking the same person as me.
Yeah. And I could see him going to the Texans or the Chiefs, really. I think that's possible.
I almost had that same pick for the Texans. I just decided they're not going to reach for him in the first round.
Right.
So,
Jimmy, who you got for the Seahawks?
Seahawks, it's another offensive line. Looks like there's a little on my board for offensive linemen. Got them taking Garrett Bowles out of Utah. Their offensive line last year was absolutely atrocious. They've got to address that. Russell Wilson had no time to throw the ball, and whoever was running the ball didn't have a whole lot of room. So I think they have to go offensive line here.
Mm-hmm.
I have Malik McDowell, defensive tackle out of Michigan State. I think Seattle's going to roll the dice on him. Very talented, lots of versatility, but a lot of question marks. So I think that it'll be a gamble for the Seahawks, but I think it's one worth taking for them.
Right. I've actually got them taking a corner. That's just sort of a hunch. You know, if they're actually serious about trading Richard Sherman, I'm not sure. But if they are, maybe they trade him and get an offensive line piece to help them along the way. And then they just turn around and replace him in a defensive back rich first round of the NFL draft. So I've got them taking Tre'Davious White, the cornerback from LSU. I think he could. I mean, he's not going to step in and be Richard Sherman from day one, but I think he's a guy that they can groom to eventually step in to that starter role.
Yep. So let's move on to the Kansas City Chiefs, and I actually got your boy Deshaun Watson going here. I think, you know, like I said, I'd be comparing Mahomes to a quarterback later on in a couple of picks, and that is Alex Smith. Alex Smith he's not going to set the league on fire. He hasn't set the league on fire. He's a game manager quarterback, but he's going to take it's going to be a big cap hit in 2018, and I think that this is where Watson can step in and actually, you know, learn, carry a clipboard for a year, learn the system, and step in and be a very different Chiefs offense in 2018, led by him and with players like Travis Kelce, to be a top two tight end once Watson takes over. I think if Watson falls this far, I'm really gambling saying that he's going to fall this far because a lot of quarterback needy teams, and I've got a lot of questionable picks going that I don't think are on Watson's talent level, but I'm going schemes. Fits the offense, fits the organization rather than just pure talent, because we all know you could take a great player, plug him into a offense that, you know, they could have all the talent in the world. If they don't fit that offensive scheme, they're not going to see their true potential. So I think Watson falls here and gives Chiefs fans something to look forward to beginning in 2018.
I've actually got him going different. I've got him going defensive tackle, Malik McDowell out of Michigan State. Yeah, they had some. Their defense has been pretty stout until they suffer injuries to the defensive line. And once the defensive line tends to fall apart a little bit on them, then it all goes downhill from there. So I could see them taking a defensive tackle there to bolster that second the front seven and to give them some much needed help in their rotation. So, yeah, my pick on this one is Malik McDowell.
Right, I've got the Chiefs. They're also going defense, but they're going to the backside. I have them taking Adoree Jackson. Got Marcus Peters on one side. Eric Berry behind him. Get another playmaking defensive back. Can't have too many defensive backs. I got Adoree Jackson to the Chiefs.
Makes sense. Let's see. So I guess I'm up with the Cowboys, right? Number 28.
Yeah, beloved Cowboys.
Yeah. We ought to let Jason pick this one because he loves them so much.
Oh, God. There's two teams I hate, and one is picking at 28 and the other is picking at 30.
Oh, nice. I've actually got the Cowboys going Kevin King, cornerback from Washington, in addressing their secondary. It's been pretty thin. It's been a weak point for them for a number of years, really. And there's a lot of different ways they could go. But my pick for them is King. I think he brings a really good physical presence to the secondary. I think he is a pretty good, from what I've read on him, he's a pretty good man coverage guy. So, I mean, he's got some work to do, obviously. He's a rookie. I mean, he's not going to come in there and just dominate anybody. But in a division where they're going to be facing Odell Beckham Jr., they're going to be facing Alshon Jeffrey. I think that they feel like they need to do something to bolster their cornerback rotation. And so I got them going. It was either Kevin King or Adoree Jackson. And I've got them going King.
I got the Cowboys taking Tre'Davious White, also a cornerback. They pretty much let their whole secondary walk in free agency. So I don't see how they can't pick a corner.
Yeah, I agree.
I've actually got him going Quincy Wilson, cornerback. Like I said, I mean, you know, that's going to be a wide receiver smorgasbord to try to play against in the division. I think you will need a athletic defensive back that can cover a lot of field. And I think Wilson will be a good fit as a Cowboy, except facing the likes of Odell Beckham, Alshon Jeffrey, and then, you know, you still got, even if you put him in coverage, I mean, you're still going to be facing, you know, like Jordan Matthews or Brandon Marshall. Mm-hmm. So you're still going to have a tough matchup wherever it goes. So I think Wilson is a good fit for the Cowboys. So
yeah,
that's where I'm going to go.
We're all in agreement. Cornerbacks for the Cowboys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Secondary.
Yes.
All right. Number 29 with the Green Bay Packers. You want this one, Michael?
Sure, I'll take this one. Yeah.
Yep. Go Pack.
All right. So I got them taking their hometown boy, TJ Watt, offensive linebacker from Wisconsin. I think they've got to get
linebacker?
Offensive linebacker. Outside.
I was so excited. He has resorted to playing Iron Man football. He's outside. He's an offensive linebacker.
Yeah, he's an offensive linebacker. He's just going to come out, run around the field, wherever the ball's going, he's just going to hit somebody and then take the ball and run it back.
He's offensive defensive end.
Yeah, he's J.J. Watt's little brother. He's just going to do whatever he has to do. But, yeah, Wisconsin guy, I think they've got to get back. They've got to get back to getting after the quarterback and attacking the line of scrimmage, and I think that's something that T.J. Watt does really well. So I think that, and plus he's a hometown boy, so I think this is going to just go fill right into their wheelhouse, get after the quarterback, T.J. Watt.
It's interesting you say that, because I said the exact same thing, T.J. Watt going to the Packers, staying in Wisconsin. They have Clay Matthews. I think they'd be smart to take him there at the 29th pick.
Yeah,
I think they'd be smart to take a pass rusher there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a clean sweep. I've also got T.J. Watt locked into there. I think the only other option that the Packers might go with is Jabril Peppers.
Yeah,
but I think Watt wins out because the Packers have been known to find diamonds in the rough later in the draft. So I think they're going to go with Watt right here, help anchor a defense that keeps Aaron Rodgers from having to go through shootout.
Well, and it's kind of funny you say that, because I considered Peppers at that spot, but it plays right into what you were saying about them finding diamonds in rough. I think that they like Peppers, but I think that they believe that with the uncertainty about where he's going to fit in, that he'll fall in the draft. And I think they're sort of hedging their bet that they can pick him up later in the draft as sort of a value pick.
So, yeah. Next is they forfeit the pick due to a bomb that went off in Gotham with the likes of Bane.
I hate when that happens.
But next is the second most hated team in my book, in my opinion, strictly because of their fans are jerks, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. One of the most annoying fan bases outside the Dallas Cowboys. I think the pick here is NC State's Josh Jones. I think he's a very aggressive, strong defender that's going to fit in to that Pittsburgh state of mind and on the defensive side of Mike Tomlin. Logical pick, strictly because of his aggression. Everybody knows Pittsburgh's cheaters, and they like to take cheap shots, so why not take somebody who's very overly aggressive? And Josh Jones.
There you go. I've actually got him taking, even though I said that I thought the Packers would hope that Jabril Peppers would fall, I've actually got the Steelers taking him at number 30. Safety from Michigan. I think he's so much of a wild card that teams aren't going to know what to do with him. So he very easily could be picked here in the first round, or he very easily could fall to the third round. Can run. He can return kicks. He's played offense, defense. I mean, he can do anything you want him to do, which is, I think, why a team like the Steelers and Mike Tomlin's going to be willing to go out on a limb and find a position for him and put him into the offense and not trying so much fit a spot for him to go in, but put him on the field and let sort of the game, you know, work around him in a lot of ways. So I've got Steelers taking Jabril Peppers, University of Michigan.
They've done this before with Cordell Stewart, just put him on the field, let him do whatever.
Yep.
But I have the Steelers taking Big Ben's replacement in Deshaun Kizer.
Ah.
He's another big buddy quarterback, kind of the same mold that Roethlisberger is. And, you know, I don't think he's as polished as a quarterback as you would want in the first round. I think that's why they take him in the first round to learn behind Big Ben. So,
I mean, that makes sense. Give him some time to develop.
Yeah.
He's as good as he says he is. That's the thing. He's not lacking in confidence.
He's not as good as he says he is, but, you know. Yeah.
Okay. I agree with you. But.
I applaud him for his confidence. But
yeah.
That's what you want in a quarterback's confidence.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Who you got at 31, Jimmy?
Oh, Falcons. I get another defensive or division rival. I've been taking the defensive end, Taco Charlton. Taco Charlton. Dan Quinn, you know, he's a defensive-minded coach. He had that defense playing very well toward the end of last season. Put him on the other side of Vic Beasley. I think they would. I think the Panthers would have a time with the Falcons. So.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have Jordan Willis here out of K-State. I think that anybody watching the Super Bowl knows how it fell so quickly. I think the Falcons can benefit from a nice constant pass rusher. Willis here gets the nod and. To make Atlanta another Super Bowl run this year.
I've actually got him going defense as well, but I have him taking Adoree Jackson, cornerback from USC, University of Southern California, not this USC. But I agree with you. I think that even though, yeah, they need to do more to bolster their pass rush, they got to be able to cover for a couple seconds at least. And I think that plus Adoree Jackson returns kicks. And I think that's something that really would round out their team really well, is to have a really good punt returner, kick returner, somebody that could flip field position. And I know they've had some guys that have had, you know, some success, but by all accounts, Jackson's, you know, one of, if not the premier kick returner in this draft. So having him also be a good corner, I think, is just bonus.
All right. Saints, who's got the last pick taking the Saints?
I'll do it, I guess. With the final and 32nd pick of the 2017 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints via the New England Patriots. I don't really care. I mean, I started to say I was like, I hate them, but I don't. I'm just sort of like, whatever. I'm tired of them. I have them taking Garrett Bowles, offensive tackle from the University of Utah. I think he's a guy that you guys had a little earlier, but I think he bolsters that offensive line. I think it's all about keeping Drew Brees upright. I think it's about creating lanes for whoever they want to have back there running the ball. Hey, they can bring back Reggie Bush for all I care. But I think that I think he's a really good, solid, safe pick right there at 32.
All right, I've got to go on the other side. I think the Saints just need to draft defense the entire draft. I have them taking Tease Tabor from Florida, cornerback, because they need defense.
Yeah, and Tabor's good. Tabor's really good.
I'm in agreement on two of those points. They need defense, and they will be taking a Florida Gator, but I'm Gerard Davis, linebacker. I think they need to solidify that the middle of that at defense to maybe contend. So I think it's going to be a Florida Gator, but I think it's going to, the Gator is going to be called as Davis at linebacker rather than a rest up. Our mock draft, we agreed a lot. We had a lot of shakeups. We've seen a lot of players going different spots. So how do you think we all fared?
I think it's pretty good. Let me ask you a question to that point. Of the skill position guys that we have put into our drafts, who do you think makes the most fantasy impact next year?
Oh, Fournette. I mean, there's no doubt, especially if he goes to the Jag or Carolina, there's going to be no rookie of the year. So they might as well, when they call his name, or like Carolina or Jacksonville, will the rookie of the year trophy out with him.
Mm.
Interesting. I would like to say Fournette, but if Cook falls to the Giants like Michael says he is, I have to say Dalvin Cook.
Well, I'm all for that. I mean, I will not argue that one bit.
I didn't think you would.
I mean, you know, but I don't think Cook's going to fall that far. As much as I'd like to see him fall. I'd like to see OJ Howard fall, but I just don't see. I don't see the Giants luck holding out that much.
Yeah, if it went like that, Jimmy, who did you have Cook going to? I don't remember.
I had him going to the Jets.
Oh, all the way at 6.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that would be a good pick, but they don't really. I mean, they don't really have anybody that can, you know, test anybody, you know, down the field offensively. I mean, I agree with both y'all. It's those two. I mean, even if Mike Williams goes to the Cardinals or if he goes to the Bills somewhere, I mean, it's really difficult for a first year wide receiver. There's exceptions always, you know, but it's always been difficult for a first year wide receiver to make that much of an impact. And especially if Cook falls to the Giants at 23, I think that's your pick. But I think it's one of those two either way.
All right. On the flip side, picking where we place players, who's your biggest bust of the draft? The
first round? That's a good question.
That one makes you think a little bit more.
Yeah. I say Reuben Foster. I have him at 9 going to the Bengals. He does have some maturity issues, and that's not the best environment for him to go to. If he goes there, of course. I mean, that's just based on where I put him.
That's what I'm saying. Where we got people landing.
Yeah. I think close second, though, is Mitch Trubisky. I have him at number 2 at the 49ers. Like Jimmy said earlier, he's only had, I mean, he's not that experienced as a starter. And so stepping into an organization that's sort of been dysfunctional the last few years, doesn't have a whole lot of weapons around him. You know, that's not a recipe that hasn't been in the past a recipe for success. So those would be my two.
Yeah. I've got a couple of guys that are in the first round that you guys don't have. I got one is DeShone Kizer. I just don't think he's going to make it as an NFL quarterback. He's got the body, he's got the arm, but I just don't think he has the skill set. There was another guy a few years ago. It was the same year that Big Roethlisberger got drafted. It was Omar Jacobs.
Mm.
I saw him play a couple games as a Bowling Green University. I mean, I didn't go there, but I saw him on TV, and I was like, that guy's going to be good. And he got to the NFL, and I guess it was just like way too fast or something, but he only lasted two or three years as a backup. So I think DeShone Kizer is going to end up the same way. And then I also have Zay Jones going to the Cardinals. I think he could, if he's drafted that high, I think he would be a bust.
Mine's going to be Trubisky for the same reasons you pointed out. I think if he goes to San Francisco, where I got him landing at 2, I think he don't have the weapons around him to succeed, the lack of experience. I think it's actually going to be a reach pick. I mean, You got more polished quarterbacks there, but initially, but I think Trubisky will have a great pro career once they give him the weapons to succeed. But coming out the gate, first year, they don't have the luxury of him holding the clipboard, learning the offense. He's going to have to hit the ground running, yeah. And that's going to be a recipe for a disaster.
Yeah. I don't know. He's like the prototypical mold that you would want, but I mean, there's just something that I can't quite put my finger on. I mean, I see he's big, he's strong, he throw the ball a country mile, but at the speed at which he's going to have to make those decisions, I've not seen that from him.
I mean, that's a tough division too. I mean, yeah. You've got Seattle, you've got Arizona, you've got a rebuilding Rams.
It's arguably the toughest division for defenses.
Yeah, I mean, not only is he going to have to learn quick, but he's also in a division that is not rookie quarterback friendly.
No, it's not conducive for a rookie quarterback to step in and, you know, lead an offense, especially when he's got 1 or 2 years tops as a starter, you know, before even coming into the NFL. So
that's why I have a chance in going to the 49ers. So.
Yeah. They don't always make the best moves, so.
What happens if he pulls an Eli and says he will not play for San Francisco like Eli did for the Chargers?
He probably gets traded, I would say.
Well, yeah, I mean, but could you see a quarterback pulling that now? I mean, I love Eli. I mean, I'm glad he's a Giant. But could you see a quarterback pulling that now that what Eli – I mean, Eli came out and said he will not play for San Diego.
No.
Anyway, I mean, that would be
only a Manning. That would be,
and Eli is the greatest Manning of all time. But that's a different discussion we'll have in a future podcast.
Yeah, if we're just counting Super Bowl rings,
Eli Peyton's a better fantasy quarterback. Eli's a better reality quarterback.
Interesting, better, of course. That's an interesting discussion. Yeah,
maybe if you two want to. We'll make that a future article. We'll have a Manning debate.
A Mannings. A look back.
And one of us, and somebody will end up with Cooper.
Okay. All right.
Say Cooper.
I'll see if I can drive that argument home.
All right. Well, we've done about 2.5 hours of good, solid NFL fantasy football discussion. I think it went well. For our first show here on what we are calling Top Shelf Titans, I guess, since you guys don't like any input and you like to leave it up to me.
And it had a Rocket Raccoon cameo. So that's good.
There's always, well, we had an actual Rocket cameo because that's my cat is named after Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, okay.
So and he was sitting on the he's been looking over my shoulder, making sure I didn't screw up on any of my draft picks, making sure that things flowed fairly nicely here in my man cave. So I think for our first podcast, this is an overwhelming success. Now let's see how we see what GMs and front offices actually listen to us and see how we fare, and maybe revisit this post draft and maybe grade. We can grade teams and see how we did against the actual picks of the first round.
Yeah, I would like to go revisit those first, at least these first round picks. We don't have to do maybe the entire first round, but certainly I'd like to at least revisit some of them.
Yeah, and we have to see which ones are fantasy viable picks. Might get somehow Leonard Fournette goes to the 49ers. They already have Carlos Hyde. You know,
there's talk about them them trading him. Like he's
I don't know,
but he doesn't fit the offense.
No,
they won't.
But I think that just about wraps it up. So I'll let you guys plug everything, and we'll go ahead and get out of here.
Take it away, Jimmy.
All right. Well. Everybody here from Jason and Jimmy and Michael, here from Top Shelf Titans. We'll see you at the draft.
I like it. Nice and simple. So hopefully tunes into our next episode. And till then, we're out.
See ya.
Peace out.